Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
Right. All right, we're back. Wednesday edition, Three Dudes with a View. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three, dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York, has not joined us yet. Hopefully he'll be with us in just a minute. Regular special guest dude, favorite son, native son of Columbia, 1977 graduate of Columbia Central High, Ron Hart. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good morning. We're doing all right. And we are pleased to have back with us Representative Scott Sapecki this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Wait a minute. Did you get that message from Debbie Clayton? We may be bringing in Debbie Matthews here in a minute. All right, folks. Scott Sapecki's got some good news for us in terms of
money.
Yeah, money that's available. But I want to sort of pick up where we left off yesterday, where Ms. York and Ron, maybe even you, said that this business about transgender men identifying as women in women's sports was a solution in search of a problem, something like that. And, of course, what the Biden administration has done is changed the definition of Title IX. Title IX, of course, passed 50 years ago to end discrimination against women in athletics and provide opportunities for women in athletics. And over the last 50 years, that has paid off handsomely. I think, Scott, you were telling me that the championship basketball game for women drew more than the men's championship game.
Yeah, in viewership.
Yeah. And so it's succeeded wildly. But now the Biden administration, instead of discrimination based on sex, it's discrimination based on gender identity. And they, by a rulemaking process, the Biden administration has accomplished that. That means, of course, men identifying as women in women's locker rooms, men identifying as women dominating women's sports. That means that men identifying as women will be made roommates to women at colleges. And if the woman who is has a man as her roommate complains, then that's considered to be sexual harassment, and she can be punished for it. That's what we're up against. And it really got some of our listeners irritated. They started sending in examples from around the country of where this is a real problem. Virginia judge finds transgender teen guilty of sexual assault in Loudoun County High School girls' bathroom case. Oklahoma transgender student charged with assaulting female high school classmates in bathroom. Transgender Wyoming woman convicted of sexually assaulting 10-year-old girl in bathroom. Another transgender student flashed four freshman girls in their locker room after a swim class in Wisconsin. Teenage girl terrified in locker room with naked transgender woman. And up in West Virginia, apparently there is a liberal enclave up there. Some crazy rogue school board up there has allowed transgender men identifying as women to play in high school athletics up there. On the track and field team, about six or seven girls just walked off and said they're not going to compete against the dude who was on the team with them, who ended up winning the shot put contest by quite a bit. And the school, in turn, has, because they walked off, they're banned from ever participating in women's sports again, the real women. And the dude remains. So this is a growing problem, and it's only going to, I submit that it's a problem that's only going to get larger over time. Now, one of the things that I, from yesterday, a couple of things happened. First, Scott, who's here with us, and I'll read it. Nuts. This keeps jumping around. But Scott, you issued a statement yesterday noting that you had sponsored a bill to prohibit men identifying as women from being participating in athletics in Tennessee, and that bill had passed.
That is correct. It passed about 2 years ago. We started off with middle school and high school as reports started to come in across the country, especially in track and field and swimming. And so we passed a bill. I carried a bill, and we passed it that said biological males cannot compete in middle school or high school athletics against females. And then the next year, we brought another bill back that extended that into our colleges, our public colleges and universities in Tennessee. So we are one of the few states that have banned it all the way up through college. We also passed legislation to keep transgender males, men who identify as females, out of girls' locker rooms and out of girls' bathrooms in the state of Tennessee also. And so, like you said, the Biden administration, for some reason, is just trying to undo Title IX, which was created, and it was very simply created, to protect women and women's sports and rights, that they would have equality and they'd be participating against themselves. And when you look at the statute, Title IX is roughly, the wording for Title IX is like, I don't know, 40, 50 words long. And the rule change from the Biden administration is over 1,100 pages.
Yeah, I heard that.
So it's, I cannot believe we are sitting here in today's world and arguing that men should have the opportunity, biological men should have the opportunity to compete in women's sports. It's just, it is ludicrous to me. And we're going to, as Attorney General Scrimeti said, is we are going to file a lawsuit against the Biden administration, and we're going to fight this in Tennessee along with other states.
Yeah. And of course, I guess people are wondering now about the interaction between Title IX and what Tennessee has passed, the legislation you're talking about, Scott, preventing men from participating in women's sports. And how does that, what's the effect of that as against this rule change by the Biden administration? Well, the answer, of course, the Title IX is federal law. The legislation passed in the Tennessee General Assembly is Tennessee law. You do have the federal supremacy clause, but Title IX is entirely hinged, so far as I know, on federal money, massive amounts of it in some cases.
Well, when we ran these bills, Delk, the one thing we were very careful never to say, and if you watch the video, you'll see it. My opponents on the left kept trying to, on the bill that would ban boys from playing girls' sports, they kept using the word gender. Well, Title IX does not mention gender. It's all about sex.
Yep.
And so what we were very careful to do in our legislation was we never, ever said the word gender. We always said the word sex. Therefore, everybody knew we were specifically talking about Title IX. The Biden administration is trying to drag Title VII into Title IX to give those same protections under the law, and Title IX was never created to do that.
No, clearly, and that's part of what Anthony Scrimeti's lawsuit, I mean, Jonathan Scrimeti's lawsuit against the United States, against the federal government, will be seeking to have this rulemaking by the Biden administration struck down. Clearly, when Title IX was passed 50 years ago, it was not meant to, Congress did not intend it to apply to men who identified as women. They were creating a legislation to uplift real women. Mm-hmm. And that's what was the idea 50 years ago. Now, of course, Tennessee now has said, nope, we are not going to do this. So how does that rub up against Title IX? Well, the federal government may just say, okay, Tennessee, you've made your law. If you abide by it, no more Title IX money for Tennessee schools. Mm-hmm. That could happen. But what would be the effect of that? Scott, do you have any gauge for that?
Yeah, roughly, if we would lose our federal funding because of not adhering to Title IX, you're probably looking, we would lose about $2 billion a year in funding. We've already looked at this last year in summer study of looking at, is it possible for Tennessee to forego that federal money and give us more autonomy and freedom, not only in education, but also in the way we're going to govern our female sports, et cetera. And the answer came back is yes, we do have the ability to do this. And so if the Biden administration is going to go through with this and they're going to say, we will take your federal money, I think the people of Tennessee will overwhelmingly stand up and say, that's fine. You keep your money, but we're going to run Tennessee the way we want to run Tennessee.
There you go. I think I totally Debbie agree. Matthews, welcome to the show this morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, in the Wentworth Mansion.
Oh, my. All
right. And, guys, it is glorious here. So, but I'm glad to join and being a woman on the show. We've had conversations this past week about almost the elimination of women, period, and all aspects of life that they can do. It's a funny time. I never thought we'd go backwards, but it's the de-evolution for women, and women aren't standing up for this. It's funny that the left, the women are fighting to get this done, and it's a strange, strange time.
Well, Debbie, you were there. I mean, well, I'm going to date you a little bit here. Sorry about that. But, I mean, you were there when this fight started, and all the feminists came in and were arguing in support of Title IX, of keeping women, women.
Right.
And where
right.
are they?
And now, you know, and now it's the same liberal women that are fighting for this transgender stuff. I don't understand this at all. And so this will disintegrate women's sports in all aspects. You know, they're erasing the word woman everywhere you can. It's now chest feeders. We don't say the word mother anymore. It's just sort of the elimination of our position in the country. And I know, I mean, I'm 59, so Title IX started when I started in sports and playing softball and all of those things, or tennis, you know. Women are just built differently than men. We cannot compete, especially on a competition level in college or after the fact, with men, because we're just different creatures. And so all this is going to do is open for men that can't perform in men's sports to now have a place for them to perform and win in women's sports. That's all this is. So I hope that Tennessee stands and they don't take federal money. It's like every time you take money, you trade a liberty for that or a freedom for a check. And so it's time to start being autonomous in all things as much as we can and quit taking checks from the federal government, period.
I agree, although I do think Jonathan Scrimmett, Attorney General of the State of Tennessee's lawsuit, and it's not just Tennessee, several states
have yes, Kentucky, I saw that.
Kentucky, Indiana, Virginia, and I think Ohio have joined us.
I think I heard even more than that, Scott.
There's another one coming out of Florida, too, from those AGs down through Florida, Georgia, et cetera.
Yeah.
So multiple states are going to sue.
It says Tennessee, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio, and then us. We're the states.
Multiple states, and I think the chances of winning are good, and because clearly Title IX was never intended to prohibit discrimination or discourage discrimination based on gender identity. It simply was not. It was based on sex, and so I think the lawsuit has a good chance of success.
If we look at what has happened with the Planet Fitness situation that happened, I think it was Oregon or Washington State, where a woman complained because a man was in the dressing room and he showed himself to her teenage daughter. And then when they complained, they were the ones that lost their membership, not the man. You now have men that are trying to identify as women so they can be put in women's prisons. I mean, we are in bizarro land where everything is upside down, and the adults need to show up and start having some cojones to say, no, this is crazy, Bill. We're not participating. You know, right. We're just not participating.
It's time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let Scott talk about this new money coming in from Tennessee.
Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Have you been hauling your own garbage to the convenience center? Are you tired of doing it? Does your work schedule keep you from hauling it off regularly? Is your teenage son not taking it off like he promised when he got his driver's license? Do you have something better to do on Saturday? If any of these questions strike home to you, call the Garbage Man at 931-540-0919 and your problem will be solved.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Are you tired of living with neuropathy? If you're living with pain and numbness in your feet, then you understand that most treatments only target the symptoms of your neuropathy. At the Dr. Gill Center, our customized therapies target the underlying causes of neuropathy, promoting healing and helping to restore function. Are you ready to say goodbye to pain and limitations of neuropathy and hello to a brighter pain-free future? Call 615-794-0800 and ask about our $49 special. Take the first step. Start living pain-free with Dr. Gill Center. Call me, painfree.com.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
This is Sue Fox. Are you looking for a swimming pool for all seasons? Whether you want to lose weight or just give yourself much-needed therapy, water therapy is the perfect non-stress exercise for the body. Come to Fox & Company Salon and Day Spa and indulge in our heated lap pool, jacuzzi, and dry sauna. Just bring a swimsuit, towel, indoor footwear, and a friend. Call Fox & Company Salon and Day Spa today at 381-1773 or stop by 1211 Hatcher Lane for a tour. Oh, wait. Ask about our new chair yoga sessions.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
My name is Delk Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Delk. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York, is not with us. He may be in an election commission meeting or once in a while he has, yeah, it is. Scott's sticking up his thumb over here. It is election commission meeting.
First Wednesday of the month, yeah.
Okay. All right. Regular special guest dude, native son, favorite son of Columbia, Ron Hart. Good morning.
Good morning.
And regular special guest dude, Debbie Matthews. Good morning.
Good morning from Charleston, South Carolina.
There we go. And Representative Scott Specky, we are pleased to have you with us to update us on all things coming out of the state of Tennessee and our governing process.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. One more thing. I talked briefly in the last segment about Scott's statement yesterday he issued saying, I will always protect the safety of women in Tennessee, and noting that he had sponsored and the Tennessee legislature had passed previously legislation prohibiting men from participating in women's sports. Now, the Maury County Democrats, who, you know, have got a lot of them are good friends like Mr. York, but their response on X to Scott's statement, let's see, they go, what are you doing? This is addressed to Scott. What are you doing to reduce Tennessee's maternal mortality? Now, I have not heard anybody talking about Tennessee having a problem with maternal mortality. Scott's shaking his head. This is a problem I've never heard of before. What are you doing to reduce Tennessee's maternal mortality to prevent wife beaters from possessing guns? Well, folks, the last murder case that I tried, my client was convicted of killing the mother of his children with a kitchen knife. So, might as well ask Scott, what is he doing to prevent wife beaters from having kitchen knives? That's ridiculous. And this one, Scott, you have an answer to, or to reduce, they're asking Scott, or to reduce TBI rape kit backlogs. And y'all, the legislature did a lot about that this year, did you not?
That is correct. We allocated money for 17 new positions for TBI that should alleviate the backlog and keep them up to date so they can get these rape kits back quicker now.
There we go. Ron, you got any further thoughts on this women and men's sports? Or men and women's sports, excuse me.
Yeah, it shouldn't be really about XY chromosome, right? Because, in golf, for example, men hit the ball at least 30 to 80 yards longer than women. You look at every form of metric you want to look at, fast twitch muscles and things like that, just inherently unfair that it happens. It's so rare. And mostly when they do it, it's almost a poke you in the chest to be symbolic. Hey, I'm going to get in your face and piss off people like Scott Specky. People, they act like they're just – I try to ignore them a little bit. I don't think we need another law about anything, really. But it defies common sense that it would be allowed in Tennessee. I guess you get a case. I don't know if Biden wants to die on the hill of, I see Eisenhower putting the African-American kids in Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. That was heroic. But I don't see Biden send the National Guard to let, Tom play with Mary in Central High School basketball. Maybe he would, but I don't think he would do that. So I don't think that's the hill he wants to die on. So it defies common sense. Non-binary transgender people are 1.6% of the population, supposedly, based off the Pew research poll. The problem is now, because it's so cool and kept pretty much, teachers encourage it, the kids are like 19 to 28. So like 5.6% say they're non-binary and transgender. So, that number's going up because it's all the rage right now. I think it's more trendy than it is reality.
Yeah.
Yep.
A social contagion is what it is. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the best word I've heard for it is it. This is just people following along. And it's a funny thing because it's delusional and they're asking us to go along with the delusion. And we have to just stand up and say, no, we're not doing this anymore. Period.
Teenage angst, right? Catching the Rye, Salinger's Catching the Rye. Every movie is about teenage angst, right? So you start telling them on the school level, oh, it's okay to be this way or confused that way. We all go through it, right? But right now, they make it seem cool if you're out there doing that. Teachers encourage the purple hair teachers that are 85, 90% Democrats in schools. I think that's the new frontier of their civil rights movement. They run out of things to be mad about. And this is a new frontier. I don't know what Biden's putting so much stock in it for, because, you know, he gets probably 120% of the transgender vote. So I don't know why he keeps putting, you know, stock in that. There was a good little MSNBC piece I saw that they questioned why Biden and his staff continues to double down on people they already have, right, in their tent. They don't really reach out for the middle, which could help Trump in November. There's no reach out to the middle by the Biden camp. It's like they're doubling down on transgenders, on you know aggrieved, you know, racial issues and things like that. So I think their plan's wrong and diversionary in many ways.
You know, Ron, what you're saying, though, I mean, the sophomores are running the White House. I mean, it is incredibly tone deaf for them to issue this rule about Title IX, making Title IX all about gender identity, 6 months before an election. That's crazy town if you're a politician. And it just shows how tone deaf the Biden administration is.
You read it, and it does say that. I mean, I can't imagine them saying that. You actually read the act, and it does go that way. I mean,
they've issued rulemaking.
The conservative media gets a little hysteria about themselves sometimes. I get all worked up. I haven't read the bill. So you read it?
No, I have not. I've read multiple accounts of the rulemaking. It's pretty simple. Okay. I don't know why it takes 1,100 pages to do it. It's instead of Title IX originally prohibited discrimination and based on sex, and also provided money to bolster real women in athletics, high school and collegiate athletics. What the Biden administration has done this week is, by a rulemaking process, make Title IX not about sex, but about gender identity. And that's a whole new
ballgame. What's a rulemaking process, Scott? What's that mean, rulemaking process? Is it like an executive order?
Yeah, pretty much an executive order.
It's code of federal regulations, Ron, and there's a process by which the rules are amended. You know, you've got to give public notice. You got to have public comment. You got to do this, and the other.
What they're doing is they're channeling it through the Federal Department of Education.
Yeah.
And therefore, he has rule promulgation over the Federal Department of Education. And what they're doing is they're tying it to the money that all of the states are getting for K through 12 education. So they're strong arming them with the money.
$2 billion in Tennessee, yes. Based off a $52 billion budget in Tennessee. You get $2 billion from the feds.
Yes.
For Title IX.
Is that in the budget?
Excuse me?
The $52
just for Title IX? Is that right, Scott? Just for Title IX is $2 billion?
Yes.
And so, Ron, it does boil down to, I mean, it's an executive branch rulemaking. It is an executive order, basically.
I mean, I would.
Presidential order.
I mean, I don't speak for the whole General Assembly here, but I would probably be willing to bet you that if this thing went forward and stayed true, you'd see an overwhelming backlash from the General Assembly, where we would figure out where to find the $2 billion to protect the girls in Tennessee. We will do it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we do it, I mean, you know, Ron, if Tennessee figures out a way to stop taking that federal money, that's going to put pressure on Florida, on Texas, on South Dakota, on these other red states, that from their populace, they're going to say, well, wait a second, if Tennessee can do it, why aren't we doing it?
I thought they were too busy shooting dogs in South Dakota.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh!
All right, let's get
segue, please.
Yeah, let's. Scott brought some good news to us.
I do,
and let's hear it.
So, we constantly go through grant processes. We don't have a state income tax, so we really have no way to get money back to individuals. But we have ways to get money back to communities to help make them better. And so, there's a bunch of money that's coming out of your money that's coming back to our community. It's really good news. It has to do with broadband and broadband access. So, $191,000 is going to go for additional money to expand broadband connectivity in Maury County. So, the original money we invested in Maury County is now going to be expanded. We're going to keep bringing more broadband to more people in Maury County. Also, on workforce, $272,000 will be given to the village of Glencliff. They are going to work on digital skills, education, and workforce training for high school students. And then $1 million for TCAT Hohenwald to build out workforce job sector and broadband to help create new opportunities for jobs there. And then the big one here, the one I'm most proud of being able to get with Senator Hensley, is $2 million for our Maury County Public Library to get expansion in there for broadband and connectivity for individuals who want to use that, that don't have it in their house or want to do study or research or virtual classrooms, et cetera, for homeschoolers, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really big news for our public library here in Maury County.
Yes, it is.
Big news.
Yes, it is.
And then also on voting here, and I wish Mr. York was here because I'd love for him to hear this. The Secretary of State, Trey Hargett, is coming down, and today at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock, and Delk, I think you'll be at both of these schools.
Yeah, I'm going to cover.
Mount Pleasant High School and Santa Fe Unit School have been awarded a presentation from the Secretary of State for, of the eligible voters in their schools, 100% participation. So that is outstanding for them. And then lastly, a couple of years ago, we were able to secure the $53 million for Columbia State for their new regional, their South Regional Training Center. And it's been in the works, and it's kind of been sitting on the back burner for a little bit. Well, we just got news that they have the final architectural drawing, so they are very close to breaking ground out there. And you talk about having something for our community in the health sciences and the technical fields. This is a big win for Maury County, so I'm very happy that now we're starting to move forward with this, and we've got the extra money allocated because of inflation to cover the cost of the build.
So that's fantastic. Man, makes me want to go back to school. Well, I want to get my certificate to do the bush hogging and stuff in Mount Pleasant. They need to let adults do that.
Also,
that's what I want.
And just remember, yes, Debbie, there are opportunities for Tennessee Reconnect for those adults that want to go back and either get a further credential or maybe get into something different. And we offer those opportunities through our community colleges and TCAT centers. And believe it or not, that is one of our highest graduation rates out of all of them in the state of Tennessee, is to reconnect people who go back because they want to go into a different field.
I love it.
So
I love it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all good news. That's fantastic. So that's going to benefit Maury County in many, many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's fabulous.
This saw a newsflash. Marjorie Taylor Greene's going after Johnson. He's going to file that motion. So it'll be interesting to see which Democrats come out and save his job.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that float in too, Ron. Is it Wall Street Journal that posted that?
Yeah, Wall Street Journal clipped it. Yep. Yeah, she's going to go ahead and do that, which is interesting. Yep. I don't know. I know, Scott, you deal with this. You have a big majority there, so it's much easier to govern as you wish. But that, I mean, Johnson's got a tough row to hoe.
Yeah, he's going to I from what I hear, the only thing that's going to save his jobs is Democrats that cross over. And so,
right. you know he cut that deal with Ukraine. So, okay, I'm going to get you Ukraine money. I'm going to get you this, this, and this. But when they come after me, you're going to protect me. I'll guarantee you they got 5, 8, 10, 12 votes from Hakeem Jeffries to protect his job, which is, you know, politics as it is. I mean, look, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, but if you're the Speaker of the House as a Republican and you're relying on Democrats to keep your job, that's not going to play well.
It's
not going to play well with the Republicans who are supporting you, because now it's going to put them in a bad light.
That's
right.
You know,
the press in the middle of the libertarians, I think it's how government works, right? If you would have a large majority right now, both in the Senate and the House, had you backed off the abortion thing in 2020. I mean, you can argue that, 2022. So, I mean, there is a coalition in the middle that can govern. I'm not for the Ukraine money. I'm totally against all that, too. But I do understand how politics works. And the shirts and skins thing, I don't know. I think it's an encouraging sign to some degree. I mean, there's reasonable Democrats you can usually deal with, you know, and they'll be there to handle it. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, you got to realize, is the outlier, kind of an embarrassment to the party in some regards. I do like Massey, actually, of Kentucky, though. He's a part of that.
I do, too.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be back.
Attention radio listeners, Mother's Day is around the corner. So are graduations, confirmations, birthdays, and more. This is Jenny at Tillis Jewelry, and we are here to help. Not only have we created a fun new collection of birthstone stack rings handmade in-house, but if you get here in time, we can even get special items made in time for your event. Ask us about our posh new travel jewelry case, available for a limited time. Tillis Jewelry, your friendly hometown jewelers at 105 West 7th Street in Columbia.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Don't camp out waiting for a home repair. Keep your home running all summer during Hiller's Happy Camper Month. This month only, enjoy no interest financing for 24 months with equal payments on select home systems and upgrades. Or take advantage of our $99 drain cleaning special. Don't miss out on these big summer savings. Visit happyhiller.com today. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Call 844-567-6110 for details about credit costs and terms. For new accounts, the APR for purchases is 28.99%, subject to credit approval.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113, or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the TSSAA, are the 109,000 high school sports students in Tennessee. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, soccer, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, administrators, and officials. We stand for the swimmers, football players, and wrestlers. We stand for the golfers, softball, and volleyball players. We stand as the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
Are you prepared for what many experts believe to be an exponential tax increase when the Trump tax cuts end here soon? In addition to protecting your hard-earned money during your lifetime, what about college planning? Would you like to see an excellent alternative to the 529 plan? If you think you can do a better job of spending your money than the federal government, give us a call. Call us at 931-269-9520, 931-269-9520, or go to optimalfinancialplanning.com.
Some people are just obsessed with their lawns. They'd cut their grass with a pair of scissors if they could. Thanks to Gravely, they don't have to. You see, Gravely makes not only the best built and most comfortable lawnmowers, they also leave your house looking like a doggone country club. So whether you're a commercial landscaper wanting the best or just a perfectionist homeowner, you can't do better than a Gravely.
See our full line of Gravely products at Murray County Equipment, 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia, Tennessee, or check us out on Facebook.
Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows a change. Yeah.
Back, 3 News with a View. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. We are pretty sure he's in an election commission meeting, and we thank him for his service on the Maury County Election Commission. Regular special guest dude, native son, favorite son of Columbia, Ron Hart. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
And regular special guest dude, live from Charleston, South Carolina?
Charleston.
All right. Debbie Matthews.
The Wentworth Mansion. If y'all haven't been here, you got to come. But the Wentworth Mansion is something to see, I'm telling you. So people need to get out and visit our beautiful cities in this country. We got a lot to share. So it's great.
All right, folks. Wonderful. I've got something you've probably never heard before. And it only exists because X is now this was formerly removed.
Twitter.
Well, yeah, X, Twitter. Here's something you've probably never heard, although it's been around since January 7th, 2020, when Trump made a speech the day after January 6th. And it's been suppressed and removed and scrubbed from the Internet. It's about 2 minutes and 40 seconds long, but I think it's even those of us who know the truth of it need to be reminded, and this exists. This is a real speech by Trump, January 7th, 2020. Go play it, Clayton.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Well, hardly the speech of an insurrectionist. Clayton, what do you think?
No, I agree 100%. I mean, that's it was shortly after January 6th that he basically got deplatformed on every social media website in the country.
Of course, none of the news carried that.
Oh, it doesn't fit the narrative, you know. So, of course, you're not going to report that. But again, you look at everything the guy has been through as far as all the charges, all the indictments, and he's leading in the polls bigger than he ever has before. And, you know, he's leading in every battleground state. He's leading in a – when you're leading 9 points in a CNN poll, it's probably more like 15%, to be honest.
Trump does always underpoll.
He does. So – it'll be interesting. They've done the impossible. If they would have just, and I've said this on this show, if they would just leave him alone, not, you know, ignore him, not go after him, not attack him, we would more than likely probably have another nominee other than him. But because of the constant badgering, the constant harassment of, and just again, attacking the man personally, they've turned him into a martyr. And, you know,
it's revealed government is a very petulant group of people that are the deep state or whatever. It's, and people just realize that that could happen to me. I mean, the government can be turned against you. These DAs or you know, FBI agents, CIA can be turned against the citizens, and they have been. And we're pushing back. And there's only one agent for change in that pool of people, and it's Trump.
Yep. What scares me, guys, though, my personal belief is that the election was stolen November 3rd of 2020. And you don't steal an election just to let it go. So something is coming. I don't know what it is, but something is coming. These people don't cheat once to not cheat again to hold on to power. That's what I feel. So we'll see what happens. A false flag attack, some weird bird flu. I'm expecting anything.
Are you, Clinton, are you sure that's Trump's speech right after January 7th? Is that verified that he said that? Because pretty prolific, almost like he went back and did it CYA. But that's verified, right? January 7th, he put that out.
Yes, yes.
And the January 6th committee didn't bring that up.
Of course not. Yeah, I mean, they suppressed a lot of information that they didn't want out that, you know. I mean, if you look at his video from January 6th, they took it down almost immediately where he told people to go home.
Well, so they've even abbreviated. They even abbreviated the Charleston or the Charlottesville speech. You know, the Charlottesville speech, they cut it off before it continued just to call all this racial unrest. I mean, everything that they could do to abbreviate, to harass, has been withering against this man. I don't know how he has stood this. I have no idea how he has stood this. Legendary folk hero at this time. I mean, I just don't know how he's done it. Yeah, and him, like people
pull for Bonnie and Clyde, right? So people kind of pull for people sometimes that have been. We know it was in the brochure about his personal life, right? We all kind of knew the Access Hollywood. We saw he's eligible bachelor, maybe a Flanderer, maybe not. I mean, you read history and biography books of presidents, and I think of our 47 presidents, wherever you had 40, I'd say 44 of them had affairs. I mean, this is nothing new, right? So it's a lot harder to do this day and age with all the technology and the shakedowns and Me Too movement. But it happens, right? So I think most people have discounted that. Everybody's flawed, and they let that go. That this constant persecution by the big state and these DAs, that's really the story here. I mean, people don't like Trump as much as they just hate government or dislike government, you know?
There was a comedian that said, imagine being Hillary Clinton that was so hated that people voted for somebody they hated more than her just because they hated her. I thought that's a perfect analogy of what happened in 2016.
If you're Biden, you're sitting there and say, okay, here's your main competitor who's facing 91 felony counts and a porn star's testifying in a court in New York, and you're losing by 9 points to him. What is happening?
Actually, that speech was made on January 6th, folks.
That's verified. It's not some sort of internet flying around thing. God, it sounds like it's just perfectly written. And that's by Musk, and that was put out on Twitter, just suppressed or something.
Yeah, his Twitter account got shut down, I think, on January 6th.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all conservatives' platforms were shut down. I meant Parler was shut down that day. You couldn't say certain words, or you were eliminated off of Facebook. I mean, it was an assault against all conservatives that day. I mean, they basically relegated any conservative thought to the sidelines, to the hinter regions. We were not viable or respectable folks anymore. We did not matter. And the national narrative was carrying on. And
Christian Rep was here to explain to me the difference between this Columbia University busting those windows, busting these buildings, occupying the buildings. How's that different than January 6th? And why is there not this outrage about that? I mean, they're calling for the death of people. And
right.
I understand the right to protest and certainly give them room to do that, right? But how's right. this different? Why aren't they in solitary confinement? And I texted Declan Clayton this morning. There's 34th. I had two of my girls went to Columbia, There's 34,000 students at Columbia University, 14,000 of which are foreign students. So we have these, universities which we've incubated, Harvard, whatever, since our inception as a country, and we let 14,000 foreign kids come here, suck it up. I mean, there's an Appalachian kid, there's a kid in Columbia, there's a black kid in Kentucky that didn't get in because you got some foreign kids coming in here. I mean, 14,000 out of 36 is pretty high. I get 1,000, I get 2,000, I get maybe 5,000, depending on where they're from. But 14,000? Are you kidding me? And they're angry at us?
Think about this, Ron. I want you to think about this. We had late night personalities that were American personalities, Johnny Carson, and then it went into Jay Leno, et cetera. But a few years ago, 10 years ago, it flipped where Americans could not even become hosts of late night television. Jon Stewart went away, so Trevor Noah came in, who's from South Africa. Then James Corden took over CBS. It was like all of these people that were from other countries were here. Yes, exactly. And so what happened to American talent holding the prestigious American slots nighttime television? This is an orchestrated global assault on all fronts. So, you know, I'm with you on the Columbia people, but the Columbia administration is saying stop or I'll say stop again. That's pretty much what they're saying for this.
It's helping Trump. I think the chaos is helping Trump. I think even the most casual observers and even the PMSNBC with Joe Scarborough, they kind of said, this is not good it's not a good look for Biden. He's got to show control. He's torn between the Jews, which are heavily financial supporters of the Democrat Party. They're the financial capital of the Democrat Party, and the burgeoning population of Muslims in America. Both, you know, they outnumber. You know, he's doing a vote calculation. Anything Biden does is a vote calculation. There's nothing moral or solid about his thinking or intellectually.
I'm not sure that's
all about vote counting.
He's not doing a very good job of it.
Maybe Trump ought to come out and say, if you're Jewish and vote Democrat in November, you're not Jewish, and see how that rolls.
Yeah. And if he's Hitler, you know, he's got a Jewish son-in-law, Jewish grandbabies. He moved the embassy in Israel there, and he did the Abraham Accord. If he's Hitler, he's the worst Hitler ever.
Uh-huh. There was a commentary yesterday that said Trump sitting in a courtroom, it's helping him because they're persecuting, but it's also helping because he's not 24/7 on the television. Yeah, keeps him shut up, and that when they see him, he's doing the things like that.